Good evening, everyone. So, continuing along in the halachas of Ma'aseh Kesafim, what I'd like to discuss tonight, Bez Hashem, is how a person knows, how a person determines how much Ma'aseh he should be giving from money he earns and his regular salary, if he's a salaried worker or in business gains, etc. The cheshbon of gains, connected losses, and similar type things. So, let's just start off beginning with a person who is a regular salaried worker. He gets a monthly paycheck, doesn't have any investments or whatever it is. His parnasa comes through from the paycheck, so he has to take ma'aser from his earnings. However, there are certain things that may be in his gross pay, that not his take-home pay, that he would not have to take ma'aser off of, and other things which he may have to. So one thing which is pretty widely accepted is that income tax, when a person has, when there's withholding taxes, his employer holds back money for taxes, that he does not have to take ma'aser from. That's not considered money that he ever profited. He never earned that money. In order to earn, make up numbers, but in order to earn the $60,000, he has to allow $40,000. He really has to, in a sense, earn $100,000, but then he has to work for $100,000, but then he only gets paid $60,000 of it. The other $40,000 taken off the top goes straight to the IRS, so that he doesn't have to take ma'aser from. This is one place you'll find this in a Tshuva and Ramesh, in Yerodea Aleph Simon Kuf Mem Gimel. He says this. But many other sfarim say this as well. I did see an interesting thing from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that he agrees to this, but he says if the person is self-employed and there's no withholding taxes, and he earns what he earns, and then at the end of the year or whatever it is, come April 15th, he has to make a cheshbon of what he owes and he has to pay taxes. So he says that then in that case he's chayiv ma'aser on the full amount before taxes. And the way it's explained is that the first way, if it's withholding taxes, it's money that he never sees. It's viewed like he never earned that money. Whereas the other way, it's money that he earned. Now he has a chov. Now that's clear that a person is not allowed to pay his chovos from ma'aser kesafim. You have a debt, you owe money for something, so you can't take that off of ma'aser kesafim. So Rabbi Yaakov says, if a person is self-employed, then we'd look at it like he earned the money, he had the money to use for many months, potentially, maybe up to a year, depending on how often he pays his taxes. But when it comes the deadline, so he has a chov. So he looks, it's viewed there's any other chov. That's a chiddush, because one may argue that what difference should it make whether it's money that they never gave me in the first place, that the boss just did me a favor, or maybe the IRS requires that he do me that favor, so to make sure that they get their money and they don't have to, I imagine the bigger it's because it's easier for them to just keep the money in the first place than to have to give it to you and make sure you give it back. Mashain Kane, if a person's self-employed, I mean, there's no system to do that. But be soda, double the course, it's the same thing. It's the same tax. So this is the only place I saw that chiluk made. Al kopanim, everyone, the other sfarim I saw, they just talk about income tax. They're not machalik between a self-employed and not self-employed. So al kopanim, so from income taxes, derech klal, one does not have to give ma'aser. Now, of course, if at the end of the year, when a person files his taxes and he gets a refund because it turns out that they took off too much because of what a cheshbonus, and he gets back money, then that he has to take ma'aser from. Then that's money he never ma'asered because as we just explained. So that's like any other profits, just that they held on to it for a while thinking that it was theirs. Then the end of the year when he makes a cheshbon, it turns based on his deductions or whatever else, it turns out that he didn't owe that amount. He didn't owe $40,000. He only owned $35,000. So they give back $5,000. So that $5,000 he has to take ma'aser from. Similarly, money that's held back for Social Security, he does not have to take ma'aser from that money. eventually, when he retires and he starts collecting Social Security, then he'll have to take Meiser off, assuming that he's in a position, hopefully he has enough income to be able to afford Meiser. That's something we didn't even discuss yet, but just generally speaking, a person is only chayv in Meiser if he could afford it. So assuming he could afford it at that point, even though he's retired and he's collecting Social Security, so then he would take Meiser off of the Social Security that he collects. Now, what about health insurance? If a person is gets health insurance through his place of employment, and it comes off the top, he doesn't get when he gets his paycheck. There's a line there saying that this amount was deducted from his salary for health insurance. Does he have to put that back into the cheshbon and take maaser from that or not? So there are perhaps certain different approaches, but what seems to me to be a proper normative approach to this would be that if it's simply a matter that he chooses to take advantage of the company offers a insurance policy through the company, and you could take it or leave it if you don't want it. If you have insurance from a difference, if your wife works and you're on her insurance, or for any other reason you choose not to buy into the company's insurance, then they'll give you the cash. They'll give you the money. They're not. They're just taking off the top, because if you want to be part of their policy, so they just want to keep the money. Again, they don't have to, no reason why they should have to collect the money from you. They take it off the top, and maybe you save taxes this way also, whatever it is. But they're just taking your money and paying for something which they would have given you otherwise, and they're just using it. So then you would take Meiser from. You have to, even though you're not seeing it, you're not getting it in your pocket. It's not when you cash your check, you don't get that amount, but you would have to add back that amount into the cheshbon and take Meiser from that. Whereas if it would, and that would include, if it's a benefit that they're offering, they offer health insurance with the job. And if you choose not to take it, you still won't get the cash. You get either cash or you get the insurance policy. No, it's a benefit. It's a benefit that they're offering, but you don't want it. You don't want it. So you know, if you don't want it, you don't need it. Whatever it is, so you don't take it. But you still won't get the money. So then, even if you choose to take it, then you don't have to take Meiser from that, because that's similar to the idea of Shavu Kesef. It's not money. They're not offering money. They're offering me a benefit. And in this benefit, it's not like the first case where they're not offering you the benefit. They're offering to sell it to you, but they'll take your money and buy it for you if you want. Otherwise, they'll give you the money. So that's one thing. But here, they're not buying it for you. They're just offering it to you as a bonus, as a fringe benefit of your job. And if you wouldn't have to take money from it. For that matter, let's say, what happens if you do pay for your health insurance? They are taking money off of your paycheck, which they otherwise would have given you, which we said you have to Meiser, but then the company also contributes. The company, puts in a certain amount, which is something which you wouldn't have seen otherwise, right? That's not money that they're not offering to you as cash. If you buy into the policy, then your employer will contribute part of it, but otherwise you won't get that money. So what's the din then? So, give me one second here. I just want to see exactly how I wrote it down here.
Meaning it's just an incentive to get you to buy into their policy.
Yeah, or it's a benefit, the benefit of the job, that they'll offer you some, like, your health insurance, not a full policy, but they're offering you whatever it is, a third of a policy. You have to pay for two-thirds of the policy. They're offering you a third of a policy. So, just one second, because I think I wrote something here. I just want to review before I say. Okay, so that lechara would also be not something that you have to take Meiser from, because again, it's not cash. They're buying you you have to buy two-thirds of a policy, so that you're paying for. They're taking your money. But the other third of the policy is they're giving you this shavu kesef. So let's go back. So really, you could argue that, well, what's the difference if they if they pay, if they take the money off and buy, even if it's money they would offer me. We said earlier, we said in a couple of, last week or a couple of weeks ago, that you don't have to take ma'aser according to many person with shavu kesef. And even we mentioned even from the Chazon Ish, even let's say a person who he's not that wealthy, and but if he gets his father's, let's say, giving him money for an apartment or got married or for other needs. So the Chazon Ish gave an etza that he doesn't have to take the money. You don't have to take the money and then buy the item, buy the apartment, or buy the groceries, in which case you'd have a chiyuv meiser on the money, but rather you could just act at, on behalf of your father, just use your father's money to buy it, and then after you buy it, then take possession of it when it's already shavu kesef. Don't take possession of the groceries only after you purchase them, at, you know, you purchase on behalf of your father, or buy the apartment on behalf of your father, and then take it for yourself, and you wouldn't have to give meiser. So you could argue, so what's the difference here? What's the difference in health insurance? Even if they're using money... Sorry?
In this case, with the money, the second his father gives you the money, then he leaves the money. That's a boy. How can you have in mind that it's only going to buy the things after he goes to the store?
If your hat is sitting over here and I want to hand it to you and I do hakba, do I own it? I don't know. It's your hat. I don't know. I lifted it to give it to you. So my father, the father gives the thing. He's not being magbi at amanas to be kona. He's just using it for his father. Let's say your father gives you a $50 bill to buy him something in the store and bring him back the change. You say, "Well, I'm sorry, Pop. This $50 is now mine. If you want me to buy for you, you got to give me more money."
If my father gives me money to buy him something, then
that
was the money.
No, you're shamachina. Whatever the shamachina would be. But here I'm just taking the money. I'm not taking possession of it. You can't force a person to possess something, right? Even if he makes a physical ma'aser kinyan, unless he's mechaven to be kona, he's not kona, right? So that's okay. So you could argue. So even if they would offer it to me as money, but the ma'aser they're not giving it to me as money. The ma'aser now that I choose to buy into the insurance plan, so they're just buying it for me and they're giving me the insurance plan. They're not giving me the money, so why do I have to take ma'aser for that, even in that case? But I think tuchel, first of all, Chazon Ish said that as for a person who was very dachuk and, you know, especially just got married, his father's bargaining apartment maybe costs whatever, I don't know, make up whatever number you want, but $200,000 or shekel or whatever it is, a huge amount of money, and he really can't afford, he's going to pay ma'aser from that out of somewhere else. He doesn't have money like that to pay my salary. He'll write it down and he'll be paying it back his whole life. See, he gave it as an etza for a person who it's, you know, who is difficult, not necessarily that person should conduct his whole life that way, that whenever anybody wants, you know, giving him money, his mother tell him, like his parents are giving him a birthday, you know, a birthday gift of $50 in the mail for birthday. He said, "Oh, Ma, one second, I'm not taking the money, I'm just going to bring it to the store for you, and I'm going to buy whatever it is, I'm going to buy myself a nice thing for you." And then he wasn't giving that etza, that's the way you should live your life. He's giving that etza for Malcolm, that it's dachuk, but Derech Chayav don't do that. And Bechlal,
wouldn't it just be easier to say he's not Mechayav Meiser?
Well, let's see. Yeah, okay, but let's say even a person he will, once he gets his apart, you know, he will be, you know, you say if he has to pay for this, maybe he wouldn't be Mechayav. But leaving that out, even in the case where he would be, the Meiser, he has enough money where he would be Mechayav, but it would be quite an ol on him to have to pay ma'aser for this. And one couldn't is also it could be b'chal that was only by a case like that where he's getting it from a parent or that type of thing. Give one minute. One second. Yeah. Right. In other words, not just a parent, but it could be that's only by something like a gift. A gift you're getting, so you could flip the gift into, don't take it as money, take it as nechassim, but you're getting paid for serving, you're getting a salary for you working, to say that I'll get the salary in shavu kesef and avoid all meiser, that we don't say. So melu come out that if you get, what we're saying, that if you're getting the insurance, if they're just paying for the insurance for you, but with money that would otherwise you would have realized it would have been in your paycheck, so that you would take meiser, whereas if it's money you never would have realized, you don't have a choice to get that as money, whether it's the whole policy that way, it's just the deposit fringe benefit, or even if it's a part of the policy that you have to pay for most of it, but the boss will kick in some money too, which he would not have given you otherwise, so then from that amount, it's fair to say that you would not have to take meiser.
If you receive a gift card, you don't have to give meiser under that.
Well, again, could we say a gift card, if it's a gift card that you could only, for a particular...
Amazon gift card.
Well, Amazon gift card, so you could, it's worth, you could buy anything in the world with it, right?
with anything in Amazon. You can't buy, you can't go to a grocery shop and do groceries with Amazon.
You only use it on Amazon, right. Only at that store.
Okay, but Amazon sells like everything under the sun, right? I mean, Amazon is a grocery store and a bicycle store and a vitamin store and everything. So I don't know. So in a case like that, you know, it's your mom use it as money, right? It's so. No, I guess one could argue technically it's shavu kesef, but the right thing to do would, I think, would be to give myself from that. Okay, one more thing. What about a person puts away money into a retirement account? He has them. Again, he takes off the money straight from his paycheck, goes into a whatever type of retirement account. So there, that's definitely something he has to take Maaser from. That's his money, which he's putting aside for later on in life. So the best thing would be to take Maaser right away, just to make it simpler and not to have to worry about keeping cheshbon and who knows who's going to be the one eventually getting the money, etc. But I actually just recently spoke to Shmuel first about this, and that's what he definitely recommended, that it should be meisered right away as one gets it. If one keeps very good cheshbonus and he informs his family and everybody knows this money which is being put into this account is not meisered, when you actually realize the money, when you take the money, make sure to meiser it. So you theoretically could do it that way, but the recommended and simple thing would be just to meiser it, if one could afford to meiser it, even though he's not seeing the actual money, but meiser, take other money connected it, and this way and then keep cheshbon that way, that it's that meiser was taken. Okay, what about a person who is not, he doesn't get a set salary, or he doesn't only get, he's in business, and he earns money, he has profits and gains and losses, etc. So certainly, the amount he has to take Maaser from is based on his net gain over a period of time, and the Sfarim say at least once a year. Once a year he should make a cheshbon of profits and losses, and see at the end of the day how much. Hopefully, he profited, and if he did, how much he profited after subtracting the losses, how much he profited from. At least, the Chavetz Chaim says you should do it. Chavetz Chaim says you should do it every half a year or year, Chatzi Shana, Oshana, and then within that time, he doesn't have to take Maaser even if he earns money for something, but he just keeps the cheshbon. Some give an eitzah or recommend doing it on Erev Rosh Hashanah, because it says Rosh Hashanah kol ma'osif shel adam ksuvin lo Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, so it's a good time Erev Rosh Hashanah to make a cheshbon of, like, it's over. That's Hashem's cheshbon ends today, and starting tomorrow is a new cheshbon in Shemayim. So that's some give that it. Others say you could do it if it's convenient. You can do it really when it's convenient. L'maaser, some say it's more convenient to do it by when you're filing for your income tax. So that's when you're making all the, you're going through all the books. So at that point, you could do it legabe meiser too. Not that necessarily the profits and gains will be exactly the same, as maybe we'll see. But that'll be a time when you're going through everything, and you'll it would make sense to it might make sense for a person to do the cheshbon then. And that's it. So then, and then he calculates how much he owes for that year, and then if the next year he even if, let's say, Chas v'Shalom, he loses a lot of money or something, and that wouldn't take over his cheshbon for what he owes already for this year, and the other way around too. If he earns more money, but this year's cheshbon is closed, or whatever the date is that he set up, it closed at that date, and it makes his cheshbon how much he owes, and then he starts with a fresh cheshbon. Now, what happens if a person has more than one business, and maybe he owns a nursing home, and he owns a restaurant, or whatever. Maybe he has all different forms of business, and maybe he also has. Maybe he does work as a he's an employee somewhere, and he gets a monthly salary. But in addition to that, he has certain investments, which either could potentially earn him more money, hopefully so, or he could lose money on. So there's a machlokas poskim of whether one takes each one separately. Each business is its own entity, and if you profited in one, then you have to give Maaser, irrelevant to the fact that you may have lost elsewhere, and your net gain wasn't as much, or maybe it wasn't at all. Nevertheless, you take one at a time. There is such a day in the poskim. In fact, the Chuvish Shvus Yaakov seems to say like that, because he's medamit. He says that Maaser Kesafim is like Maaser Ani. Let's say a person has a wheat field and a grape a vineyard, and one of them he does well, and the other one, Chas v'Shalom, was hit by some sort of disease. His grain field is hit by a disease, and that year nothing, all the crops rot away and die, and he gets nothing out of it. But he but he did grow grapes, which are edible and fine. So he still has to give Meiser Ani. He has to give Meiser from the grapes, including Meiser Ani, right? Meiser Ani. He can't say, I had a net loss because Kenegan, whatever I gained in the grapes, I lost in the wheat. Doesn't make a difference. He still has to give Meiser Ani from the grapes. So Shvus Yaakov looks at Meiser Ksav in that way too. The fact that his restaurant maybe did poorly. But since he earned money in the nursing home, he has to take Meiser from whatever his nursing home gains. However, many other posts can say not like that. The Nodeh Behuda and others say, Hashulchan, I believe, and others say that you don't have to do that. You make an overall cheshbon that all the businesses together, all the sources of income together, you make a cheshbon of whether you gained or lost and how much you gained, and if one business lost and the other one gained, so then the losses here are detract from the gains in the other one, and you figure out your net gain at the end of the period of time, at the end of the year that you set up, and that's what you give Meiser from. Now that's, I believe, is the Minhag Olam. That's the way most approach it. This said Shmuel first told me that for sure, that's halach l'maisa, that's the way to be noig, that everything goes into the cheshbon together. But again, it's only from that year. And also, some of the svarim point out that, let's say, a person already gave Meiser, meaning, let's say, he did really well in a certain tremendous profit in business, and he's very excited about it. He says, I'm giving the money straight to Meiser. I don't want any Sionos, whatever. And it was a huge, maybe he sold something. He sold a certain business for a huge profit. And he doesn't want to nisayon that he's not going to give money to Meiser. So right away he gives it out. And then Lemaisa, but he had other businesses that didn't do so well, and he ended up losing some money. So he gave out. He earned $1 million on the sale, let's say, and he gave $100,000 to Tzedakah right away. And then Lemaisa, he lost money in a different business, so that at the end of the year he did not profit $1 million. He only profited whatever, maybe, you know, a certain fraction of that. So that once he gave it already, connected that gain, he shouldn't. The Svarim say he shouldn't do that. Use the losses in a different business to detract from the gains here. That you have a right to do that within the year, but only Kolzman, you didn't actually give out the money to Tzedakah.
He won't.
What do you mean? He won't. We get the Schar and Shemayim instead. Not getting the money.
Can you use it as a prepaid master? Let's say he did the 100,000, then he lost 10,000 in another business, so he only had to give 90K,
well, okay, well, so, well, maybe it's what you're asking to. Okay, so.
Yeah, I thought that was the case.
No, so I'll explain. So let me go back and then I'll say what it is. The Chavetz Chaim says, and Avos Chesed as many too, that person who's in business and he should keep a running cheshbon of profits and losses, and also keep a running cheshbon of how much money he gives out to stock. I mean, in the course of the year, he's giving out stock here and there without making a cheshbon of how much he owes. He has an opportunity. Somebody comes to the door, or there's a need. Somebody he's brought to his attention a certain need, and he gives stock. And he says anything he gives, even small amounts, even prutas that he gives out in his house, small amounts. Keep a cheshbon of everything, of how much he gave to tzedakah. At the end of the year, he then calculates how much he owes, and then if it turns out that he did not give 10% of what he calculates, that his gains over the year, his profits over the year was X, and the amount he gave over was less than X, so he owes money, then he has to be mashlim. He should be mashlim up to 10%. Whereas if he ended up giving more, meaning without any cheshbon, not connected any specific profit, he just gave out because he had opportunity. This person needed money, and there was a big need in the city. There was a colleague getting married who was a yisom, et cetera, and he gave money without making a cheshbon. So then, at the end of the year, it turns out that he gave more. So that's a machlokas poskim. He brings im yimtza. This is in the chelik sheni perik yudches siv beis im yimtza shahotzi al tzedakah yosem mei ameiser yeisharim diuchel anakos lebasof mei ameiser shana shniyah. Some say you could take it off next year's cheshbon. Some are machlokas. You can't. So the Chavetz Chaim advises, make a tznai. When you start giving out Meiser, this is one of his big things. When you start giving out Meiser, make a tznai that should be al das kein, that I could, that if I overpay 1 year, I could take it off next year. So that you could do. But what I'm talking about.
I'm not
being mekabel. Well, because if we're going again with the mahalach, the mice is not a chov. It's a midik tov. So I'm only being mekabel upon myself within this framework. I'm not being mekabel myself to have to, so to speak, lose what I overpaid for 1 year. I'm not okay. But what I'm talking about is a different thing. I'm talking about, I believe it's different. I believe it's supposed to mean when I saw a tremendous gain. I sold my this business and I profited $1 million. I never thought this would happen. That and somebody offered me money for this business, which I anyway wasn't so keen about keeping. And someone offered me a price for it, which would I would net a net $1 million profit on selling this business, which I never dreamt of. And I do it, and out of my you know Hakar Hashem and Hashem and my simcha over this, I specifically intentionally give $100,000 to Meiser connected this gain. So that I think they're saying. So then don't touch that. Then if, even if it turns out you lost, you Meiser that money. It turns out that you would had you waited and made a cheshbon of the year, you wouldn't have had to Meiser $1 million because you lost some money connected that. But if you gave money connected that million, don't take it back. That's different than the case where I'm not giving connected anything. I'm just giving out money through the year because I don't have a cheshbon. In this book, I'm just writing down profits and losses. In this book, I'm writing down how much money I gave out to tzedakah. And at the end of the year, I'll compare the two. So there, if it turns out that I gave more than I earned, so that's where he says that some hold you're allowed to take it off next year and you should make it sign. Right?
So it's a matter of intention.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
There's a line in Brochus that says that you have ayin hara if you look at your goyrin. And so some are...
It says, and Brochus, but so
yeah.
And there's some
ayin. Don't look at your haitzah, it's just let the Eibishter pay the bills. The math works itself out. Chavetz Chaim saying,
"Mama
should keep every penny under."
Well, yeah, because in order to get meiser, you know.
So we see from here, this is the thing: not to look at the geld, don't care what comes in, just pay the bills without checking.
Yeah. Fit that in with this. You certainly have to give. Now, what about the person that invests in the stock market, and? Stocks, he gains and losses in stocks. So there are a couple of different approaches. One, just two basic approaches. One approach is that you also look at a yearly cheshbon. I think just about everyone says you don't have to meiser every time a stock goes up. You don't have to give meiser because the same stock that went up today might go down tomorrow. So you don't have to give meiser every single time your stock goes up. But one approach is that you keep a yearly cheshbon, and you at the end of the year you figure out your stock portfolio is it at a higher point than it was in the beginning last year at your last cheshbon, or is it a lower point than you, and or if it is higher, how much is higher, and then you give meiser from that. According to that day, it sounds like what they're saying is that even though you didn't take the money out,
unrealized gains.
Right, that's what it seems. We'll say a different opinion in a moment. But it sounds like, this is a quote from the Sefer Baruch Tzedakah in Perek Tes, I think it's Har Gimel, he brings from Vincent Karelitz, and he quotes another Makar that says like this. It sounds like what they're saying is that even it's unrealized gains. That's what it sounds like. I mean, that even it's just the fact that at the end of the year, you now, your stocks are now worth more. You could sell it right now for that price, and for whatever price, and you'll end up having earned money over the years, so you should meiser that. The other mahalach is no, that first of all, kol zman the money's in the stock market, kol zman you're not taking it out, you're not selling, you don't have to give meiser. Even if it's more than a year, even if you leave it there for many years and it goes up and down, you don't have to take meiser until you actually sell a stock and withdraw the money, take out the money to use for whatever else. And at that point, you could... then you put it into your whole cheshbon of, it's not its own, its own category or its own mechayev. Then you say, okay, this is how much I made. I just withdrew from sold stocks and I have cash in my hands for $10,000 or whatever it may be. I have from stock $10,000. I mean, profit. I profited $10,000 by selling stocks. And then I put into my cheshbon of, how much did my other businesses gain or lose? And this is one of my businesses. This is one of my sources of income. One of my asakim. And I put it into the general cheshbon and see, did I gain or lose? Now, even though that money, it's just like this year, I just happen to take it out now. But whenever it is, whenever you take out the money, whenever you sell the stock, you take out the money, you make a cheshbon of how much you profited, and then you put that into, as if it would be a profit on any other business, and and make the general cheshbon and give that way. This is well again when Shmuel first told me to do halacha lemaisa, that that's how you do it. They bring this from Rav Moshe. They quoted, I didn't see the original source, but I saw a number of sources quote this from Rav Moshe like this, that Kolzman, it's in the market. Kolzman, you're not taking out the money, you don't have to meiser it. And as I said, this other nekuda also, I didn't specifically see it from Rav Moshe, but this is what Rav first said, and I believe I've seen it elsewhere as well, too, that it's just part of your whole cheshbon. Again, going back to the first Mahalach, when he said make a cheshbon each year, it didn't sound like it sounded like he's treating it as a separate entity. I've been trying to be mevar if that's what they meant. But Lemaisa, this is the way that certainly the Rav first said to do, and this is the way that I think is... a common approach to put it into the general cheshbon of profits and gains. Now, in general, when you make a cheshbon of business, business profit, there are many things you're allowed to deduct, or for that matter, even your own salary. For example, if a person has expenses, let's say a person he drives to work every day, gets a monthly, paycheck, but he has a long drive to work, and it costs him gas. It's a significant expense to the gas just driving to and from work. So he's allowed to deduct that. He's only going there for work. No other reason why he's driving out to a different suburb. So he's allowed to deduct that because I only earned that. I only came home with the paycheck that X number of thousands of dollars because I put in this number of hundreds of dollars to pay for gas over the course of the month. Or a person who's in business, and if he has to go on a business trip, which he pays for out of his pocket, and he pays for the travel expenses and for a hotel, things just going for business, not going on vacation. It's just going, mom, she's flying, needs to fly to New York for a meeting to try to work further a deal that he's trying to close, and cost some money to fly. As I said, of course, he has to stay overnight in a hotel. So these things come off of his profits.
Just to know how your person can deduct gas and not, let's say, health insurance that
they is. Health insurance, right? But health insurance is nothing to do with his business.
He can't go to work unless he buys food.
Well,
he can't go to work unless he prepares lunch. So why can he deduct the grocery?
Because lunch he would have to pay things that he has to do anyway. Irrelevant of the business, even if he was an other bottle, stay at home, he still has to have health insurance and still has to eat lunch, right? So he's not eating lunch. If Taka, he needs to, I need a coffee just to get so I don't fall asleep in this meeting. Otherwise, I don't drink coffee, but I have a jar of coffee in the office so that when my boss comes in or when I have a business meeting, I don't fall asleep in the middle. So I drink coffee just to stay awake in the Hanami. Otherwise, I wouldn't touch coffee. I don't like coffee. It's not good for me. I drink coffee just to stay awake in the Hanami. But if it's not for me, if it's something I'm eating or drinking anyway, not just for business, for that matter. Right, for that matter, clothing. Let's say a person, for himself, if he wasn't in this business, he would buy a suit costs $200. I didn't make up numbers. $200 suit, but he meets with a lot of clients, or he's a big time lawyer, and he has to look good in front of the judge or the this and that, or at these meetings he can't wear that $200 suit. He's got to be wearing a $400 suit or whatever it is. So then he could take the extra 200, not the basic 200, but the extra 200 that he spent just to buy a higher class suit. He could take that off Meiser, or like it's maybe it's even more common with a woman.
Exactly.
Whatever he's spending extra. Well, like it's probably more common with a woman who's working, and like this, she during the week. I think women's clothing are more the hefresh. Well, maybe yes, maybe not. It's irrelevant. You can scratch that. It doesn't make a difference, more or less. But the same thing with a woman who's working, and like this, she would wear whatever she would wear. But now she's going to the office, and she has to look presentable. She has to buy a certain wardrobe, so she could take the amount she spends specifically only because she's like this outfit. She would never even buy it. It's an extra outfit. I don't even need it. I only wear it to work, so that she could take the price of the outfit off of her. Paycheck or off of our business, business gains.
So if I bought an extra car just to go to the office,
yes,
I can deduct all the car and the insurance and everything.
If it's just for work,
yes,
just work. Yes,
I use it for other things, but I had to buy it just because I had to go to work.
So that becomes a little bit of a shaila. If you lemaisa now, I don't put wear and tear on my other car, on my regular family car, because I have this car already, so I use this car. So you say, but you said you bought another car.
For example, my case, I used to work from home, so I had one car that I shared with my wife. But now, because I don't work at home, and I have to go to the office, I had to buy a second car. Otherwise, my daughter couldn't go to a school. My wife couldn't go to a supermarket. So.
Right. But so do you use it only for that? Or now you use it already?
And also to come to the synagogue.
Right. So then it becomes a little bit more not quite as clear, because Lemaisa, it's not a pure business expense. You are gaining money. You're saving the money on you're not saving the insurance. The truth is, the insurance and things like that, you would not pay for it otherwise. So then things like that, you can't. The gas, lavdavka, because the gas is not only going for work. You're using gas to go to other places too. Which,
how much is for work?
Yeah, you could. In the Sefer Tzedakah Mishpat, he says another thing. It's brought also, you could take off for, let's say you have babysitting. A woman's going to work and she has to hire a babysitter only because she's going to work. Otherwise, she would not have a babysitter or a cleaning lady. She can't keep up with all the housework on her own and work, X number of hours a day. So she hires cleaning help only because of that. So you're allowed to take this, or also you're allowed to take off the amount that you pay for the babysitter or for the cleaning help. But the Tzedakah Mishpat says, well, but let's say she saves you money also then. Maybe she does the laundry. Otherwise, you used to send your laundry out to a service. And now, because you're hiring the cleaning lady, so she does the laundry. So now you're saving money on the laundry. So he says, so he says you have to subtract, you have to make a detailed cheshbon, subtract what you're saving on the laundry service that from the amount you're spending on the cleaning lady, only what you're spending on her above what you would have had to spend otherwise. So same thing with the car, but if you would simply not have bought the car otherwise, you would not own this car except for work. So the price of the car and the price of the insurance or whatever, registration, those things you're allowed to take. Now, these things that you're allowed to take, it's not necessarily that it's hard to say you're mechuyev to take. Now, so the person wants to say, I'm not going to take advantage of that and I'm going to give meiser from the greater amount. It's definitely tavel l'bracha, but he's allowed to do that. That's not going to be a chisarin in what he's supposed to give exactly meiser, we said, right? The Chafetz Chaim says, so you make it tonight. Remember, make it tonight that 10% of what I give is meiser and everything else is extra or is towards the next, the next tenth, whatever. So this way, whatever you mechuyev al pidin is meiser, whatever you voluntarily doing is won't affect your cheshbon of 10%. What I'm saying is definitely okay to do that. If you say I'm not gonna count every single time I have a certain expense for the business, but technically you're allowed to do it. For that matter, if a person has to go for first of all, his original training, he goes to school to learn a profession, so he's allowed to take off that amount. There is brought a psak from Shlomo Zalman that only within the year. It means exactly like only if you trained trained at a certain point, then within that year you earn money, you can only take off from that year. But I saw many who are spoke to many who in fact didn't understand why they should be still, and Pascal and myself not like that whatever you spend to get your education in order specifically to take this job to be able to get a job in this field, you could take off the education course. And that means even if you had to borrow money and pay interest, you can take all that off before you start paying meiser from your income, that you're allowed to do that. Or a person has to go for ongoing education. Let's say he's a doctor and he has to fly to a conference because they're going to discuss new development in such and such a field, and he needs that in order to enhance his profession, whether he's a doctor, whether he's whatever it may be, whatever his profession is. But so the price, the cost of flying to wherever it is, the travel costs to get there, and or if he has to pay for the course as well, pay to take this course. But this enhances his ability to earn money. He's allowed to take these are expenses which are directly linked to his profits, to his gains, and he's allowed to take all these things off. Now, there's one more thing I want to speak at, and that is there's a very basic machlokas about, forget about a person even in business, let's say, forget about earning money. I don't mean forget about earning money, but I mean forget about business expenses. There's a shaila whether when a person makes a cheshbon of meiser, does he first, and now I'm saying, the opinion I'm saying now is not the main accepted opinion, but does he first subtract all his basic living expenses, which is bordering on or touching on what Rabbi Yoh was asking or was mentioning? Could he first subtract all his basic living expenses and then only give meiser from what's left after he figures out how much he needs to live? And now he has extra money. He's ready to put some money right into the bank. He has, he earned more in the month than he needs to spend in that month. So from that he takes meiser. And that opinion is actually based on a tshuva's avkas rochel, which typically are from the Beis Yosef, but they say this tshuva it's not miyuchas to the Beis Yosef himself. It's not another Adam Gadol from the, you know, from that tkufa. So, but the Berakhei Yosef brings it down, and there is such a deya that he actually only gives meiser from like extras after he pays, after he, you know, takes care of his family needs for the month. In the Kiddush, I saw it brought down that in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, in at least in the Hotzah from Shnas Tuf Reish Samach Aleph, it says this as well. The lashon there is that Yitein Maisim in Harevach Sherviach Kol Shana Chutz Mitzarchei Beso. Besides the peanut butter sandwich that he had for lunch and whatever else, Chutz Mitzarchei Beso, that and his health insurance and everything. But he brings here that in apparently in the original versions, the original Tzos of the Kitzer, Tafresh Chavdal and the Tafresh Nadal, these words didn't appear, Chutz Mitzarchei Beso. They only started appearing in Hotzah's Vilna, Tafresh Samach Aleph, and in subsequent Hotzah's, he says, some leave it in, some take it out, whatever it is. So Shaila did the Kitzer Pasuk in that way, but it does have a Makar in this Tshuva's Avakas Rochel Simon Gimel, but many say not like that. Many say, and the accepted Mahalach in Pesukim is not like that. That you take mice as long as you could afford that you take off your after you figure your net gains, you say after you take off your business expenses and whatever cost you to earn the money. But now I earned this much money, so now you don't first take off how much you spend to living expenses. Another cost of living is mice. You take a 10% from that number besides all your other, because assuming again a person can afford it. By doing that a person can't afford to give mice, then he'd anyway be putter at least from giving Meiser. But assuming a person can afford to, he's supposed to be giving Meiser before, if just from his net gains, his net profits of after his salary and his business profits and matanos and everything else we spoke about last week, regardless, not cheshbening in his expenses. And Lemaiser, just in the Chavetz Chaim, there's a lashon which is on the surface might be misleading, where the Chavetz Chaim, when he's talking later about, again, about this question of making a cheshbon, he says, "Gam," he's talking about, keep a cheshbon of how much you earn and how much you give to tzedakah. Gam yachshov le'erech es cheshbon hotzah sabayis, almazonosav, umabushav. Make a cheshbon how much you spend on food and on clothing. So on the surface, you might say, oh, the Chavetz Chaim is going to make also. He said, keep a cheshbon of your expenses, how much you spend on clothing, on food, and what? And take that off. But Pashas, he doesn't mean that, and I saw Shlomo Zalman says he doesn't mean that, and in this parasha, what he say, Adrabba, he's talking about a guy who's not keeping cheshbon during the course of the year. Like he said, he's keeping cheshbon just on paper. He's not making the calculation. He's just writing down in a book how much I earned, and actually, he's talking about also a guy who's a chenveni, who he can't write down every penny he earns. Right? He can't, every time he gets a little money and he's going to write down, so today this guy bought a loaf of bread, so I earned 30 cents on a loaf of bread. He can't do that. It's impossible. So he says, so he just makes a general cheshbon of how much he, at the end of the year, do I have more money in the bank or less money in the bank? So in that he says, but make sure to keep track of how much money you spent, meaning to say, don't forget, because you how much money you have in the bank, you have to add back the money you spent on clothing, on food, and then take Meiser. He's not saying that comes off the Meiser Cheshbon. He Pasha is saying, Fakarat, this Chenveni, who the way he's not making an exact Cheshbon, he's just figuring at the end of the year, am I worth more or worth less? So, but he says, see how much you have left, in the bank at the end of the year, but make sure you add back the expenses that you had for clothes. That's the Pashup Shad and Havas Chesed. So the bottom line, the Pashup, the simple Mahalach and Poskim is you do not deduct living expenses from Maisa. You take Maisa off your net profits, like the way we explained earlier tonight, but without subtracting how much it costs you to push it to live. Okay.
How's that going? But do you have to do the other way if you can't afford it?
Yeah.